Children, you can come up a while. Good afternoon, everybody. It's good to see so many visitors. And Petra, Christopher, Jenny, and Gary, hi. We're doing, what is it, Skypes today? Okay. Let's see here. I don't know why it's not coming up. There it goes. We can see it on the screen. Look, I got a... Well, I think I have pictures of everybody that's here, plus a couple extra. There's Sierra, and Ryan, and Justin, and Leah, Katie, I said Justin, Jenny, and Haley, and Christopher, and Andrew 1, and Andrew 2, and there's Adam. And these pictures were all taken at the feast this year. I asked your parents to take pictures. And we're going to hopefully share some experiences together that you had at the feast. Now, here's a picture that was down at Myrtle Beach Corral. Brandon took these, and I had to splice it right here. I did the best I could. But I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I want the adults to play a game here. Instead of find Waldo, find Napoleon. Okay, I'll go to the next. That's a picture of Adam. Adam's right here at the feast. He was in the crowd. What song did you sing, Adam? Do you remember? Oh, you forgot. Okay. You wouldn't tell me. Okay. There's a picture at amusement park with Nathan, Leah, and Sierra. I think that's Haley, isn't it? Ken, is that Haley? And that's Andrew there. And there's Andrew, the other Andrew. And it looks like you have light sticks and we're having a good time at night. Where, right here? Okay, I thought so. Go ahead. There?
Yeah.
That's Katie's dress there. Now, I like that picture. Two Hollywood people.
Two Hollywood people dressed up for Hollywood.
And there's Andrew and is that Ryan and Andrew there? Okay. I wasn't sure. There's Rodney and Gwen and Adam.
Leaving.
Oh, you were leaving then?
Yeah. We got that picture taken when we weren't leaving.
And that was up at Niagara Falls, wasn't it? Wow. Well, here's a picture of Sierra. What I want to do is I'm going to show each picture of each of the children up here, and I'm going to ask them if they had an experience that they would like to tell us about. Now, you don't have to do that if you don't want to. But if you do something, and especially something that would help you during the feast to relate to God, that helped you to appreciate what God's done. So, since Sarah's not here, we'll go to the next person. And that's Ryan. Ryan, do you have any experience at the feast you really enjoyed that you want to tell us about? Okay. You had fun on the beach, though, didn't you? Okay. What about you, Nathan? Do you have any experience you want to share with us? No? Okay. What about you, Leah? Now, Nathan, you let her do her own. Why were those things on your ears?
I don't know.
You don't know. You like to go swimming at Myrtle Beach.
And the ocean.
In the ocean, okay.
And Daddy hurted me whenever it came to big, huge, giant, giant waves.
Oh, he did. Wow. Are you done? Do you have anything else you want to tell me about? Tell us about? Okay, who's next? Katie. No, I guess you don't want to say anything. See, now, if you guys talked a lot, this would take... What? You're sunburned. Ah, you were in the sun too much. I'll try not to, but I think I did. And there's Justin. Justin, did you have any experience at the feast that you really impressed you?
I like the glow sticks.
You like the glow sticks? You know what you told me? You told me you saw a big red moon. Didn't you see a big red moon?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just rising, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you like the glow sticks. I can tell. Well, there's Jenny. I don't know if Jenny can talk or not. Does she have anything to say?
Anything?
Nothing. Okay. And there's Haley. Haley, do you have anything to say? She likes the beach. Wow. There's Christopher. Does he have anything to say? No. I think that's strange.
Christopher's not here, right?
Yeah, but they're watching on the camera there with Brandon. Stand up and turn around and look at Brandon. Yeah, why don't you stand up and look at the camera there and wave hi to everybody, to Christopher and them. So they can see you, see this on the internet. There's Andrew. Andrew, did you have any special thing you want to tell us about?
That's not me.
It's not... It's Justin.
Because that is Justin's Simpson.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. There is a picture. There's some more pictures on here. There is one of you. Where was that at? We'll go back a little bit. First one had you. You're right there. Do you have anything you want to tell us about? Nope. Okay. Well, there's Andrew. I like that picture. It looks like he's really having fun. Was he having fun, Haley? Yeah.
There he looks like a movie star.
Yeah, he does. And there's Adam.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to tell us about the feast? What do you want to tell us? You went on a bumblebee ride. It goes really fast. You know, I think your mom told me you went to Sabbath school every day or something like that. You really liked that, didn't you? Yeah, that's a big part of the feast.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now this next picture was, well, it's actually a video. I think it's about 5 minutes long. And it's down at Myrtle Beach. And we need some volume there, Brad. Show me your There's another song on here. I'm not responsible for the filming. Someone else did it. You learned some. You said the one in the black dress was your teacher. Is that what you said, Leah?
Was the teacher that teached us.
Ah, that song. What were the song's name? Do you remember? Praise You was the last one we heard, right? Teach Me, O Lord. That's the one that talked about God's Word, right? And so you learned about God's Word in the song and about praising Him, and that's what the whole message of the feast is about, learning God's Word and praising Him. So you guys had a very rewarding feast. So you can go back to your seats now. Well, children always add a lot to the service and a lot to the feast, I think. I'm going to share with you today some of my experiences from the last two feasts that I had. the last two feasts, I've tried to stay in the sukkah during the feast. And I was able to partially. Let me see. There's a picture of it. Now, that part there isn't actually part of it. I bought that to close it in because it only has three sides and you go in. And there's a picture of the bamboo roof. It's supposed to have something over top of it that you can see the stars and things through. And it's pretty neat to see the moon through that when you're sleeping at night. It's kind of, and it's all night long the first night because it's full moon. It's pretty neat. But 2 years, I've been rained out at Sukkah twice. And this year, I did something really dumb. I put a tarp over top of it, and I shouldn't have. I knew I shouldn't have, but it was raining so much, and our tent was leaking. I actually tried to put the tent inside the sukkah to help it not leak so much, but it didn't work. We actually had two tents where we were at, and they both leaked, and it was not a fun time. And here's a little picture of what the collapse part of it. I took some pictures of it. I didn't. Actually, my daughter took these pictures. I was too busy tearing it down. But it really bent it. We were home for about 2 hours, and it was really raining hard. I had managed to put a pole up in the middle so it would drain off, but it wasn't enough, and it got pockets of water in it, and on this side specifically, it just fell over. It was ugly. There's some of the bent poles. They were all straight at one time. So there's one thing I learned during these last two feasts, that rain's important somehow to the feast. At least it was for me for the last 2 years. Rain's pretty interesting in the scriptures. One thing we find out is rain comes from God and He controls it. I'd like to turn to, we'll go to Psalm 65, 9 through 12. And I just read that this, where it's talking about the rain here, it's not talking about destructive rain, and I think it's a very beautiful picture of rain when it provides the water we need for our vegetables and for our own selves. I forget how much percent water we are. Does anybody remember that? I forgot to look that up. Okay, so we need. Yeah, yeah, that's what we are. So we need water to live. Everything on earth needs water. Verse 9, Thou visitest the earth and waters it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges, therefore, abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof and makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. So God provides water. If you would want to look in Job 5, 8 through 10, it mentions that, and also Job 36, 27 through 29. But water has a dual purpose. I mean, it can be for reward or it can be for punishment. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 11, where it mentions that. Deuteronomy 11, verses 11 through 17. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if you shall diligently hearken unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the later rain, that thou mayest gather in the corn and thy wine and thy oil. And I will sand grass in thy field for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourself, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and you shut up the heavens that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord the Lord giveth you. So it's saying, if you obey me, you'll have rain as a blessing. If you don't obey me, it'll be a curse. We were reading about some of the curse in Joel 1, where it was a famine and drought during that time period. At least that's the way I understood that section in Joel we read. God can punish through water with a flood. In Genesis basically 6 through 9, it records that. And he can also punish by a drought. In Elijah's day, by Elijah's word, there was a drought for 3.5 years, and that's in 1 Kings 17 and 18. I'd like to turn to 1 Kings 8:35 because it shows a connection between sin and the lack of rain. 1 Kings 8:35. It says, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against me. And that's all I really want to read, that because of Israel's sin, God would not provide rain. And that's in the future, too. In Zechariah 14, I'm not going to turn there, but it mentions those people that will not keep the Feast of Tabernacles, they aren't going to get any rain. So God's going to do the same thing, the reward and punishment. When we were reading Deuteronomy, it mentioned the first rain in the King James. Some translations have the former rain. That's towards the end of October, and it increases in November, December, January, and February, and then abates towards March. The latter rains that was mentioned is a heavy rain shower in the spring in March or April that'll boost the crops that are soon ready to be harvested. See where we go. A rain pictures God's word, which I thought was interesting. One song mentioned God's word that the children sang. Turn to Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 through 3. Deuteronomy 32. Actually, I'm going to start in Deuteronomy 31, verse 30. And Moses spoke in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. 32:1. Give ear, O you heavens, and I will speak. So he's calling the heavens and hear, O earth, and the earth as a witness. The words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. So God's words compared to rain. I'd like to read a commentary in this book. This is the Pentateuch and Half Torah, edited by Dr. J.H. Hertz. Has an interesting comment. At least I think it's interesting. Deuteronomy 32. Here it is. It mentions verse 2 where it has doctrine. It's better, the word would be better, teaching, message or instruction, and then it refers you to Proverbs 4:2. The message conveyed by the song shall, like rain and dew falling on plants, plants penetrate to the hearts of the Israelites. I'd add to the heart of the people of all the world. You know, eventually God's word's going to go out, and I forget where it's at, but it says it's going to cover the like the oceans of the sea. Brian, do you remember where that's at? But it, the knowledge of the Lord will... Okay, Isaiah 11:9. The knowledge of the Lord will be as the waters that cover the sea. So it's going to be tremendous. Back in this article, refresh, stimulate, and give birth to a new spiritual life. The song, therefore, is not only one of warning, but of comfort also, to awaken new hope in a suffering Israel. Distilled as a dew, he comments on God's word is as dew, which though it falls gently and unheard, yet has a wonderful reviving power. And then it mentions Micah 5, verse 6, but in the King James it would be verse 7. That's an interesting thing about dew. There's no really destructive nature in dew. And I'll just mention it, but there's a scripture in Isaiah 26, I think it's verse 19, that pictures dew as the resurrection. Small rain it has. The tender grass needs the small drops for its revival. Even so is the divine teaching tempered to meet the wants of the weak and the strong. And that's true, too. God's Word, we can teach little children God's Word and they can understand it because of the way it's written. And yet, scholarly people can get more things out of those verses. It's just put together so wonderfully. It's incredible. Showers upon the herb. The grown-up grass needs the strong, forceful showers it has. Okay, I want to read. I'll be turning to Isaiah in a second, but I want to reread the first part of Deuteronomy 32:2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. Now I want to go to Isaiah 55. verse 8-11. For my thoughts, God's talking here, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and return not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. And the Bible is filled, just filled with things about the Messiah, about the millennium, and the time that it will come when there will be peace everywhere. It's just filled with it. God's word's going to be fulfilled when He has the time, just says the time's right. It's just going to happen. It's a wonderful picture. The next thing I noticed when I studied, I've been studying about rain for about 3 years now, but I guess you noticed the background's water. That's for a reason. But when I got rained out in the sukkah, what are you trying to show me, God? Rain pictures the Messiah. In Psalm 72, 1 through 8. Psalm 72, 1 through 8. This is a Psalm of Solomon. Verse 1, give the king thy judgment, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgments. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endures throughout all generation. He shall come down like rain upon the mowed grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall righteousness flourish, and the abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion from sea to sea and from the rivers unto the ends of the earth. And most commentaries will say that's talking about the Messiah. I'd like to just read out of a quote out of this. It's the commentary on the Psalms. Because I think it's pretty profound what this gentleman said. It mentions, "May he descend like rain upon the mowed grass." This verse teaches that the ideal king should descend to the level of the common people and concern himself with their lives. As a result, his word will penetrate deep into their hearts like the rain which saturates the earth. And what did Christ do for us? He came down and became human for us and died for us. Every person on the face of the earth, no matter what their status is, whether they're a king or whether they're the lowest person that cleans the bathroom, he came and he died for each and every one of us. And he's the greatest king there is. He's the greatest example. And when he comes to reign over the earth, it's going to be a tremendous thing. And rain, a gentle rain, pictures that. And also, you can say that the forceful rain can picture his return when he's going to fight the kingdoms of this world. You could make that analogy. I didn't find it in Scripture, but I'll make that analogy. Let's see. Then turn to Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Okay. Hosea 6. "Come and let us return to the Lord." This is verse 1. "For he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as rain, as the latter and the former rains upon the earth." The latter rain would be the heavy showers that are in March and April, and the former rain would be from the end of October to February. I think it's interesting that we got a latter rain and a former rain. And this is my speculation. I think they refer to Christ's both comings, the first coming and the second coming. That may not be true, but I think it's interesting that we have the former and the latter. Go to Joel 2:23. I always find Joel's real close to Hosea, but I find a hard time. Can't find it half the time. 2:23. "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rains moderately. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month." Does anybody have a different translation that reads any different than that? Christy?
I don't have a different translation, but I have a footnote down here for the early and latter as autumn and spring.
Okay. Anybody else have a different translation? Because that can be translated differently. And I'll be reading now the Tanakh I have. And, okay. "Children of Zion, exalt and be glad with the Lord your God, for he has given you..." And the King James has, "For he has given you the former rains moderately." This has, "For he has given you a teacher for righteousness." That word for former rain is only used three times in the Bible. It's not the same word that's was used the other times we read. It's Strong's 4175, and it's used also. It's used twice here. It's used where it has, in the King James, it has the former reign moderately, and then down at the end it has the former reign at the end of the verse. So it's used twice here, and it's used once in Psalm 84:6. But I'd like to read that again. Children of Zion, exalt and be glad with the Lord your God, for he has given you a teacher of righteousness. And the Messiah is Christ is a teacher of righteousness. And when he comes again, he's going to bring righteousness and peace for all the earth. And he has brought down the rain for you, the early rain and the late rain. The early rain would be from October through February, and the later rain would be in the spring, in the first month. So, it pictures the Messiah, and it's a wonderful thing to think about that. And it's amazing how God does things in nature. We were just, Thy Word, that's what it was. Rick was playing Thy Word as a light. God shows the Messiah as a light. He shows him his reign. He shows him his, all these different things in the Bible. And it's a little child can understand those things. And as I said before, even a scholar can get more out of them. James, turn to James 5. Verses 7 through 8. Where James pretty much, he just fits it in this chapter where he's, in the first verse, he's telling the rich men to weep and that their riches are corrupt. In the second verse in chapter 5, he goes on, then in verse 4 he talks about the hire of the laborers you have reaped down your fields, which you kept back by fraud. So he's chastising people. And verse 5, you have lived in pleasure on the earth. Verse 6, you have condemned and killed the just. He's even saying that, you know, the spirit of murder is in the Christian community at that time, and he does not resist you. Verse 7 says, be patient therefore, brethren. So he's telling them to be patient. We all need to be patient, especially me. We all get so bound up in the hustle and bustle of what we're doing. And if we just sit back a little bit and back off from things, which is hard to do sometimes. But be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rains. Be you also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And I think it's very interesting that James linked the latter and the early and the latter rains with the coming of the Messiah. And just think it's pretty fascinating that rain teaches all those different things. And you could really do a good word study on water, showers, anything pertains to that, and it would be fascinating. But as they say, how does Paul Harvey say it? The rest of this, how does he say that? This is the rest of the story, or something. Rest of the story, or this is a parable I've learned. Well, these points, I'm not quite to the parable. Rain comes from God, and He controls it. He can use it for reward or punishment by a flood or by a drought. Pictures God's Word. It pictures the Messiah. Now, this is my sharing of my feast experience for the last 2 years, and this is the rest of the story. This is the slide I wanted. But if you have to tear down a sukkah because of rain, it makes you tired.